Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
We want to thank you, our Lord, our God, our Savior and our King. Tonight's going to be a night in which we're going to turn over the event to you. This is the Holy Spirit Fire Conference. But at the same time, Lord, we can't let the opportunity go by without telling you that we love you, that we adore you. We are quite incapable of even existing without you. You hold our breath, yes, the beat of our hearts in your hands. You determine the length of our days. You determine all the future that we have. You have placed within us the potential to be a success under all circumstances. You walk us through the storm. We don't sink in the storm because Jesus is in the storm with us. We don't sink with a boat. Jesus is in the boat. Lord, you calm the seas. You calm the stormy waters. You bring all those things to an end that threaten us. Therefore, we shall never fear, for the Lord our God is near. Now give him a praise offering, everybody, right now. Amen. Blessed be his holy name. Amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Yes. Yes. What a refreshing song to hear, Holy, Holy. Thank you, Molly. That was incredible. I really enjoyed that. It was like fresh water pouring over my soul. Can you say amen? Amen. Now you may take your seats. Thank you very much, everybody. And thank you to the band. They can take their legs and rest them, or their arms or their fingers, wherever they play. But never be too far away. And this week, we're Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And then, of course, next Sunday night. Next Sunday night is very important because I want to bring out the oil from Shiloh in Israel, or Shiloh, I should be saying, from Shiloh in Israel. And that's how it's said in Jewish. And that's the real pronunciation of that word. We say Shiloh, but it's Shiloh. And we bring out that oil from Shiloh, and with that, we anoint the people. I want to pray over families and bless you for this year. Ask God to open up doors for you for the year. Ask God to give you favor in terms of deals, transactions, things that you desire God to help you with, to bring to pass. And know this always, is that I always talk about the potential principle really is the God principle. As you draw closer to God, and he draws nearer to you also, and you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God comes upon you, you are actually capable of far more than what you are capable in the natural. It's what I've often said to the young people, the students, a lot of young people here. How many of you in this building are under the age of, let's say, 25 or younger? Wave with your hands right now. My goodness, there's a lot of people, 25 or younger. If I said 30 or younger, wave with your hands right now. Yeah, you see, there's a lot of you. And all of you have the potential. Are you listening to me? You have the potential of achieving great things. But your achievement would be greater if you took hands with Jesus. So stay with the Lord. Regardless of wherever you are, stay with God. The Lord is with those who fear him. And so with that, I want to get into a few things here. I was thinking of the book of Hebrews. We are talking about Moses, and we're talking about Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 23. And I'll first read that one, then we'll go a little bit further as we get into the discussion of those things that we have to face this year. After which, I'll be praying and ministering to people So I don't want to go very long. I want to go shorter, but I want to hit a couple of strong notes. And then there's tomorrow night. And of course, tomorrow night being a work day is 7 o'clock, but we won't stretch it out in the weeknights so that you still have enough energy for the following day. And don't forget, for those of you who did hear me this morning, I'm telling you, again, and that is that tonight the full moon is called a wolf moon, named so, but I think also because of the myths of the Red Indians of the United States, where they watched how wolves would gather on a hilltop in the forests up in Alaska, in the Rocky Mountains, and they would look at the moon and howl. And that moon would be bright, full moon, and in that brightness of the light of the reflection, which actually is the reflection of sunlight, they would howl, and therefore they called it a wolf moon. So tonight's a wolf moon, but what is much greater is that it's quite rare that you have a wolf moon, which is the moon in perigee. It's the closest point it gets to the earth. So it's larger by 14% as it comes out behind the horizon and also goes down larger by 14%. And also then in the morning, it moves in the deep shadow, like a cone-shaped shadow from the earth. Remember, the sun's much bigger, shines right around the moon and still hits the earth. And so you have this lunar eclipse. And in that deep shadow, with all the dust particles in the atmosphere that are floating out there, all those atoms, they, of course, reflect the light and change the color of the moon into a deep blood color. That's set for tomorrow morning between 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock. I think about 4:28 or so, it should be moving into that shadow of the earth. And then, of course, it will be something to see. I'm going to get up for that. And I'm sure a lot of you will be interested in that. Grab a camera or binoculars or just with the eye, just stand there. Cell phone does really work on that, you know. But okay. By faith, Moses. By faith, Hebrews 11, verse number 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, the son of the king's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Notice that word, the reproach of Christ. Very possibly God revealed the Christ to him, because no man in the Bible apart from Christ himself had such a relationship with God as Moses. And like I say, and I said this week, you know that if you talk strictly Israel, Moses is still the one with the highest authority there in Israel, because they haven't yet. There's a component, a small percentage, that have received Jesus Christ, and there's a growing movement to convert the Jewish people to Christianity, but it's also forbidden to preach the gospel there, and for very good reasons. We know that when life is presented, the devil makes his move also. But then at the same time, to this very moment in time, what Moses said and what Moses wrote is still governing the nation of Israel. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures, silver, gold, and whatever the case may be in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so also were drowned. Little piece there concerning Moses. And with that also I go back again to the book of Exodus and chapter, I think I'll pick it up in chapter number 4. Just for the sake of your interest, Moses has this meeting at the burning bush in the wilderness there of the Sinai. And what a place to go, what an atmosphere there is. And in that solitary place with a couple of sheep there from the house of his father-in-law and marrying the daughter of his father-in-law, obviously, he was just in a very sweet spot until God changed his life. I was saying to Frankie something. He said something of El Bernard, and I responded by saying these words to him. Your significance, listen to what I'm saying now. Your significance in the sight of God, in the sight of God, from God's perspective, if you surrender, will change the outcome of your life. In fact, it'll change where you're heading to with your life, your significance. Yes, indeed. And God typically sees the significance, the potential principle of what He, who created the mouth, the ears, the heartbeat of the heart, gave mankind, Nesh Hamachayin, which is the breath of life, which is the spirit that comes from the Father of spirits, the Lord our God. He's the one who got the heart beating, who got the blood circulating, who got man to become a living being. Can you say amen? Amen. And so it is the Lord God that sees you and I, all of us, and the children in the children's church at the back. We have it all the time, even in the course of the week. It's there. Even those children, they have the potential principle at work if they understand to draw close to God. Your memory is absolutely, absolutely clearly, persuasively enhanced. It happened to me, and I can talk about it. I remember things so clearly now, just because of Jesus. The moment he came and he filled me with the Holy Spirit, it was like everything I tried to remember, I just leave it and it comes to me. Every answer just comes to me all the time that I'm looking for. And God says to Moses, therefore, children of Israel were suffering. He says, come now, therefore, I'll send you to Pharaoh. Come, I will send you. Come, therefore. I've seen what is happening to my people. I've remembered my covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And now, therefore, I want you to go there and I want you to deliver my people. I want you to go to Pharaoh, not to fear, but to go. Go face Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. God is in the setting free business, so to speak. God is in the deliverance ministry. He's the deliverance minister of all times. He will deliver you from any form of bondage. All you have to do is to fully surrender. You know, in Mark chapter number 5, just thinking of a verse right now, where there was a certain person called the demoniac of Gadara who was living in the midst of the tombs. That when he saw Jesus from afar in the land of the Gadarenes, he ran against the devil's will and against the will of all those demons, a legion of demons on the inside of him. Nothing could stop him or you from getting to God if you so wish, if you so will, if you so intend, if you so determined, if you decide. Nothing can stop you. A legion of demons couldn't stop the demoniac of Gadara, and he was set free by the Messiah. When you want to get to Jesus, you will get to Jesus. If you seek him with all of your heart, you will search for him, and you will find him if you search for him again with all of your heart. That's how it works. And so typically God sees in people things that we don't see in ourselves. Things that we think, that's a weakness. You know, Moses would say to God, there's several excuses he's giving here in chapter number 3 and 4. He says, but who am I? That's one question. And what will I say? Who sent me? What's his name? God says, I am what I am. And then he says, but suppose they won't believe me. God gives him signs to perform, miracles to perform. And then he says these words. He says, but you know what, Lord? I'm not eloquent. Do you know that both Benny Hinn and Oral Roberts were stutterers? God says, see, who made the ears? Who made the eyes? Who made the mouth? I'm with your mouth. Later on in the New Testament, you would read these words, Moses, man of God, mighty in speech. But here he's saying, I'm not eloquent. He says, neither before nor since you've spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. And God says, who made you? You see, what God sees in you is far more than what we're capable of seeing in ourselves. And it's just when we mix what God has given us and use what God has given us with a little bit of faith, and we move by faith, things begin to fall into place. Stay in the will of God. Search for the will of God in 2019. That word 9 is finality. But 9 is also the number of the fruit of the Spirit. 9 is also the number of the gifts of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, friendliness, kindness, faith, humility, and self-control. Gifts of the Spirit: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues and prophecy, faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. God is the one who works those 9 gifts and the 9-fold fruit, not fruits. It's not plural, it's singular. It's one fruit with a 9-fold dimensionality to it, or aspects or characteristics of the Holy Spirit released in the life of any person that says, here am I. Lord, use me. Here I am. God's the one in charge of all of that. He says, I'm not eloquent. God says, who made the mouth? Who's given your life? If I made your mouth, do you think I cannot give you a smooth tongue? If I made you, don't you think I could heal you? I made you. Don't you think I could heal you? I'll say that again. Don't you think God can heal you? How many of you believe God can heal me? Me? You. That's you. Everybody say, God can heal me. Everybody say, God's love burns with beautiful glory towards me. Yes. Mixed with a little bit of faith, you walk, you don't fall. You're strong, you're not feeble. You're firm, you're not broken. You're healed. He will let none of the sicknesses and diseases that was upon Egypt, Exodus 15:26, come upon you, for I am Yahweh Rapha, which means the Lord that healeth, Rapha, that cures you, that heals you. There's your veg, the veg of the Boshava. Finally, he says, O Lord. Now, this is just now where he's moving. He's pushing boundaries. And he's pushing boundaries. And then he comes to the final, almost disastrous saying. He says, Oh my Lord, verse 13 of chapter number 4, the book of Exodus, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. In other words, not me, send somebody else. Isn't that always a resistance in people when you tell them that God wants to use them and you tell them to come to a Bible college? Or shall I say Bible school, not college? It's a Bible training center. It's a discipleship training center. Oh, you know, God can use you. Oh, you know. Do you know how, if you read in the Bible, how people used to hide themselves? You know, King Saul went and hid himself. He ran away. Know that Gideon was hiding away when God found him. You can't hide. There's a beautiful expression that comes through beautiful Philippians chapter number 3, where Paul the Apostle is talking and he says these words. I'm going to use it in Afrikaans and then I'll flip it over into English, where he says these words. He says, Omdat ek ook deur Christus gegryp is. Oh, I love that. Because I've also been grabbed hold of by God. You read that section there from Philippians 3 from verse number 10 and onwards. It says, there's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I now stretch forward to the upward call in Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior. For whom I forsaken all things. And I count all things but dung. Whew. Man on a mission. For the excellence. Oh dear Lord Jesus. How beautiful this is. For the excellence of the knowledge. The knowledge. That's a Greek word comes to my memory as gnosis. Knowledge. For the excellence of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God Almighty, my Savior, is that I may know Him. Amplified Bible, becoming intimately acquainted with His ways, His doings, what He does, that I may know Him. Moses, chapter number 3, Exodus, is that I may know you. The hunger and the thirst for knowing God overrides all the things. Oh, Lord Jesus. All the things that this world system in all. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about the world system now, which is under the control of the God of the world system, which is the devil himself. This stupid world system cannot hold you if you decide tonight that you want to know God and you want to know Him intimately. And you're going to search Him out in this year of 2019 with finality. It's you and God. I think you need to stand up, give the Lord a proper praise offering right now. Come on, everybody. Come on, come on, come on. That I may know Him. That I may know Him. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Sorry, the visitors here, we don't have seat belts here at Little Falls Christian Center. So sometimes we just kind of rise up, you know. It's not like an aircraft say, fasten your seat belts. Here we just rise. And then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. That means that fire began to burn. And the beauty of it was what I mentioned this morning. I need to perhaps just go one page forward here in this Spiritual Life Bible that says, growing in God and knowing God. The anger of God is one of the most misunderstood aspects of His love, L-O-V-E. The anger of God is an aspect of His love. Few people understand that. when Moses encounters God's anger, it is not the wrath of an indignant monarch, but the intensity of a loving God for his people. It's the intensity. I'm sending you to deliver my people. I've made your mouth, I've made your heart, I've made your ears, I've made your brain, I've made your everything. I will be with you. In fact, I'm sending you your brother who will speak to Pharaoh on your behalf and help you. You've got the rod of God. I'm giving you signs to perform in the very presence of Pharaoh. You've got authority and power more than the army of the most modern, at that time, the most modern nation on earth, the most powerful nation on earth. You, as a man coming out of the desert with a new heart that God gave you because of your encounter at the burning bush, are more powerful than Pharaoh's army. In fact, you'll sink them. And he did. And he did. At the Red Sea, he did. When he raised his staff, the waters closed. And Pharaoh and all these armies were drowned. They were drowned. I never forget, we were at the Egyptian Museum, and there they have all the pharaohs of Egypt all in one room. And one of the previous curators happened to be our guide also. And there was a room with all these pharaohs kept at a stable temperature and all that, because there, one of the things that prevents the further decay of these mummies is just to have it in a place where there's no HO2. There's no water, in other words, there's no humidity. And so therefore, that controlled environment is necessary for the preservation of the mummies. And then they have all these pharaohs they brought out of all of those pyramids. And said, but there's one of these pharaohs. He's called Ramses II. Now there are two pharaohs. The one is Merbita, and the other one is Ramses II. Most scholars believe Ramses II is the man of the Exodus. But unlike the typical form and shape of a pharaoh mummy, which they would put in the coffin and in another coffin, and it would have six coffins, one in another, until you have six, which is the number of man. And every coffin would be gold-plated all round, written with the whole history of that pharaoh and all sorts of acclamations about his greatness and whatnot. And then finally there is the container of the mummy, and that's open like with Tutankhamun. If you look at that in Egypt, you see the treasures of Tutankhamun, the boy king, died about 8 years before Moses was born. They found with Ramses II that they couldn't bury him like the normal thing, because his arm is bent out like that and he's twisted in a way that is not normal. And they said that is because he died by drowning. So both the Pharaoh and his firstborn son died because God loved his children. God will take out your enemies. Are you listening to me? And your enemies, by the way, are not people. But God will bring them under heavy conviction if you're in the presence of the people who hate you. You just walk in there in the presence of God. They quickly find out, they quickly change their attitude. See, when God has a meeting with you and you decide that you're going to respond to God, see, you decide to respond to God in a positive manner. People quickly come to know that. People very, very quickly understand that you're not the usual type of person who walks in a room, because you've got authority. authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. All you need to do is 100% commitment. And let me say this to you. I don't care who on planet Earth says anything else, but I think this final week of the Daniel fast is keynote to our consecration and our blessedness for the rest of this year. How many of you want to be blessed with your whole house, your family, and your loved ones for the year? Then make a commitment for the week and sacrifice to God yourself. Like you hear now, sacrifice to God yourself. And even the children need it. That there are Sunday school for, well, it's not Sunday school, it's called children's church. So God's burning love was what prompted God to act towards Moses. And I don't know what happened there at that burning bush, but I tell you something, God evidently did something, and when he did that something, Moses changed his tune. His heart was changed. You know, in 1 Samuel, I'm just thinking this is coming to my mind, chapter 10, where we have the verses, the passage of Scripture that gives the Samuel anointing of King Saul story, that situation. And it says, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. And then there will be the following things happen to you. You'll be changed into another man. You'll go through what we call a heartfelt change. Now, if you read it, I think it's verse 9. It says, and when he left Samuel, God gave him another heart. He came to God. He had a confrontation, empowerment of the Holy Spirit oil. He walked away from God with another heart. Moses came out of that desert, was not the same Moses anymore. Not by no means not the same Moses. This man now had the full empowerment and the full capacity and the backing of the creator of everything, watching over him, with him, with his mouth, and he could face Pharaoh. He could turn water into blood. He could lift up his staff, the rod of God, to the heavens, and a hail would strike that place. And those who didn't heed the warning had all their livestock killed in the process. He could do anything, just take dust and throw it up in the air. It would be turning into lice. And be everywhere, frogs everywhere. Time and time again, you give another warning, give another warning, give another warning. And one plague after another judged one major idol after another. It took 10 major idols connected to the 10 major plagues to take them all out, judge the gods of Egypt. And he let them out. But here is what I want to say this morning. I want to refresh on. You have a situation where people get into all sorts of trouble. And without knowing it, life is a school. Life is a school. I've often used the expression, life is a school, my friend. And isn't it now a school? And then I use another expression. I always say, I ride a horse called experience. Life is a school, my friend. I ride a horse called experience. And then we have this situation where they are in a state where they are in labor. And I equated labor to giving birth. And I equated that to the fruit of the womb. And there is also the labor of the Messiah. And I equated this is very important, this principle to understand. is that before being delivered, we talk about child delivery in terms of birth. Before being delivered as a nation, they first went through pain and travail. They were being whipped. They were going through hard times. And I can tell you, they did not have steak for supper every night. I can tell you they had a hard time and they had to eat bits and pieces and scraps. That's what they had. That's all they had. That's all they had. They were slaves. And when you're a slave, the very principle of slavery is you own nothing, but you are owned. You have no will. Your master's will determine where you're going to go next. What you're going to go do, if you stand in a mud pit, then you stand in the mud pit, and then you just do what I'm doing now in the mud pit all day long, all day long. And if you slow down, there's a whip that'll come from the taskmasters. They were like demons on those people. And they cried out to the Lord. Israel was in labor. Moses came and he delivered them. And the child, like God says, Israel is my firstborn son, or my firstborn son. Let my son go, and if you do not do, I'll kill your son. And God did. He killed Pharaoh's eldest son. And this labor of birth is 9 months. Go a little bit further with us. 9 months, and then there's delivery. But I want to switch this thing around. I want for a moment to take labor away from the mother as the focal point to the baby as the focal point. Jesus in the womb of Mary, with the saying of Elizabeth, was called the fruit of her womb. Blessed be the fruit of your womb. When a child is born in a natural birth, there is a birth canal. And the child, now listen to what I'm saying now, the head of the child has to pass through the birth canal. So what gets very specific pressure? The head of the baby. When people are in a stage of birth, it hits you up here first. It goes for your head. And you wonder what's going on right now because the pressure is on your mind. Now swing it around again. After the period of labor and labor pains comes something else. That means the delivery or the birth of the child. It is almost like that, and the mother's forgotten the fact that she's just gone through labor. Everything involves labor. When Jesus had to face the cross, he went to a place called Gethsemane, my favorite spot in Israel. That and the place of the crucifixion. The Garden of Gethsemane. And there in Gethsemane, he prayed. And being in agony, his perspiration turned to drops of blood. He gave birth in the spirit and then followed in the natural and was crucified. Now, very interesting, and I need to just read you one or two verses. If I can get hold of them very quickly, then I'll just try and do this for you. In Psalm 116:3, we read something very interesting, and that is all about the umbilical cord, which is the cord of life connected to the placenta of the mother. There are two arteries coming out from the fetus or the baby, the unborn child, to the placenta. And there's one vein going in, carrying oxygen to the child in the womb. So there's this interplay there between the placenta in the mother's womb and that child that is to be born. Now, there is another thing. It is called the pains of death surrounded me. and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and no sorrow. This year depicting prophetically the labor pains that the Lord, our Lord and Savior, had to go through. The pains of death. It's the word chevel. In Hebrew, chevel. Chevel chale, chevel mavet, chevel lale is like the pains of life, or yes, it's pains of life giving. And then you have chevel mavet, which is the pain of giving birth, of death, actually. I'm sorry. The pain of death. Chevel mavet is the pain of the death. So there we see the pains of death surrounded me. If you look at that word, it's chevel, and that word chevel means, it's the Hebrew word for a rope or a cord or an umbilical cord that surrounded him. What is it that surrounded him? It was the umbilical cord of death surrounded me. And the pangs, which is metzar, which is labor pains that a woman goes through at giving birth, of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. The Bible speaks 9 times of this whole process of giving birth. Now, may I just say something to you that's very interesting. Very interesting. And that is that when God refers to the church, he says to the church, you are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. I'm quoting out Matthew chapter number 5 up to verse number 16. That section there. I'm quoting from there. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. And then he says, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And then he says in verse 16, he says, let your light therefore shine so before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven. Verse 16 now. See? You are the light of the world. Who is the light of the world? He spoke to the disciples who became the apostles, who then took the church, which is called the bride of Christ. Okay? The bride of Christ, Romans chapter number 7, Ephesians chapter number 5. We read about the bride of Christ, and we read how he prepared for himself a bride without spot or wrinkle. Therefore, being the light of the world. Listen to this, Pastor Tiens. In Hebrew, menorah. Menorim, if you have more, is feminine, not masculine. It is the bride that would give birth. And the menorah is a symbol of the churches of Revelation. What churches of Revelation? 7 of them. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Theater, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Somebody got that. Amen. Say, nee, maar. Say dit weer, pastoor, ek nou gehoor. Wat jy nou daar gesê? Ek sê, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Theater, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. 7 churches. And what did they have? Lampstands. What is that word? What's the format of that word in Hebrew? Feminine. It is the bride that goes into labor, not the bridegroom. It is communion with the bridegroom that makes you fruitful to multiply. Like in a marriage, when the man and the woman come together and conception has taken place, the first thing you find is blood, and multiplication takes place. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Therefore, if you do abortion, you take life. It's as simple as that. God forbids man to eat blood, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. See? The bride of Christ has to give birth. The bride of Christ has immense significance. We are the light of the world, we're the salt of the earth. The apostles cried out, "Oh, that I may know him." We say, "Pastor, don't talk to me about a call of God in my life. I don't want to hear about a call of God in my life. You know what? I first want to go and do something. I want to swim over the British Canal, and then I want to go on an expedition on the top of Mount Everest, and maybe I'll be able to reach the South Pole and then go to the North Pole, and then I want a couple of other things that I've got a bucket list." Yes, it is a bucket list. It's exactly a bucket list. How about having a life list instead of a death list? How about a lifeless list where you say, "Okay, here am I, Lord. You want me to go into Egypt and put Pharaoh in his place? Empower me now. And guess who gives birth? The bride or the bridegroom? Guess when the bride becomes fruitful? When she has fellowship with the bridegroom. Guess when the bride becomes immensely powerful? When she's got the backup of the bridegroom. Guess what is the possessions of the bride? She is a joint heir with Christ. When the first begotten from the dead, Chevet Mavet, when he is born, the firstborn of all of creation, when he rises from the dead, God the Father says, "This day I've begotten you." The moment he is born from the dead, the moment that happens, the Holy Spirit is poured out, and there comes the bride of Christ. Now God prepares unto him a bride. And I need to close now by telling you a little story from Matthew chapter number 24, which we all face in this time of our lives. You want to hear about Matthew chapter number 24? Let's quickly go to Matthew 24, because that's what God is reminding me now of. Matthew chapter number 24. Let's take a look at this. And I'm just going to take verse 7. I'll pick up in verse 7 to save a little bit of time, because I want to minister to people. "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places." Read the news. Like, read the news. Verse number 8. "All these things are the beginning of sorrows." All these things are the beginning of what? Sorrows. Is that quite correct? It's the Greek word odin. It's the beginning of the birth pains. For this world as we have it will go through birth. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. The moment you come to that place where finality has been reached, there hangs a blood moon over Africa, over Israel, this night. In the early morrow, it will be seen. You'll be able to see it. It'll be massive. It'll go down behind the horizon like that. About 4:33 minutes, I think, should be sunrise, or should be a moonset time. All these things are the beginning of Odin, which means the beginning of the birth pains of this world system. Because the earth as we know it now, and the dispensation and the construct of this planet and the entire system is going to come to an end. So waar as die Here leef, dinge gaan verander. And it's going to happen worldwide. He's going to change everything. And as for you and I, we're living here. I wanted to say more tonight, but I think I've said enough. In fact, I think I almost said too much. The world is coming to an end. Don't you ever get that out of the back of your mind. God is going to deal with the earth. And number 9 stands for finality, 2019. It could very well be that there's a high intervention, if not then manifestation, but intervention of the Messiah, particularly with Israel this year. This year. That blood moon is quite ominous. Like I said this morning, if you take the sun and there's a solar eclipse, then it's always a message from the heavens, Genesis 1:14, to the Gentile world, the rest of the world. That's big. If you take Israel, that's small. They always see the moon, and particularly the blood moon, as a signal that something's going to be happening now. So it's now, this night, the final night, not the final night, the beginning of the feast, the Holy Spirit fire conference. Can you say amen? Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you all tonight. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up His countenance over you, be gracious to you, grant you eternal salvation and peace. Everybody together, in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All God's people said,
for more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.